Well, did you find anything to be thankful about this week? There are so many blessings that we have. It's been a special week, and today's a special day. It's the fifth Sunday, and here right after Thanksgiving, it's a special opportunity for us to do certain things, including the fact that we are having Elder Appreciation Day today, and we hope you'll stay for the lunch. We've got hamburgers and hot dogs and fixings downstairs. And we invite everyone to stay, and it'll be a special time for us to show appreciation to them. There's even some baby and childhood pictures down there, and you can see if you can figure out who those folks are. And we do appreciate our leaders. The scriptures encourage us to acknowledge their leadership, and so of all things that we appreciate this week, we want to include that. And then this afternoon at 1 o'clock, we'll have our afternoon service, so we hope you'll stay and eat with us and join us back upstairs at 1 o'clock. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. You don't have to spend a lot of money. It's been a little for food, but it's not like all that we get into shopping for Christmas and other things. And it's also unique to our region of the world. Not every country celebrates Thanksgiving. It goes back to our heritage of a Christian founders of our nation who recognize the blessings that God provides and built that into the culture, built that into the calendar. But thankfulness is not always something that comes just necessarily easy or naturally to us. There's a process to giving thanks that you may not have thought about, but there's really two parts to it. First, you recognize that something good has come your way. You might think of it as a blessing or an act of kindness or something someone has done for you. Even if you paid for it or whatever, you sometimes say thank you, don't you, when the server brings you your food at a restaurant. You're paying for that. Maybe you're going to give them a tip. But you still recognize that something nice has come your way. You say thank you. And maybe it's something that doesn't really cost anything materially. It's just a kind word, a word of encouragement. Someone lets you know they're praying for you or tells you that they noticed something was going on in your life and they're concerned about you, and you say thank you. So the first part of really expressing gratitude is to recognize that something good has come your way. And then the second part is to express the gratitude and to say thank you or to say I appreciate that. And so you might think of it this way, that's the gratitude two-step. First, you see it, and then you say it. And what I mean by that is, first, you see that there's something for which you ought to say, that was a good thing, something came my way, I can be thankful for that. And then to finish the process, you have to say it. Whether it's a thank you note, or words that come out of your mouth of thank you, and or some other way that you say, I am aware that something good has come my way. And of course, the principal person we think about for our thanksgivings is God. But it's not limited to that. Our days should be as full of thank yous as it is full of good things. I want to challenge you here. If you were to sit down with your family or sit down with a group of Christians, maybe in Bible class this morning, and we're going to go around the room and we were going to say some things that we're thankful for, would it take long for you to come up with a list? How are you at seeing it? Anything good in our life is an opportunity to be thankful, and even some things that we don't think of as good, later on we'll be thankful for as well. Our lives are full of good things. They're full of blessings. You can start with the simple things like the air that we breathe, the fact that we woke up this morning, that we have the opportunity to come together for Bible study, that we can sit in peace without fear of persecution, that we had plenty to eat. Everybody had plenty to eat this week? I had about 10 pounds extra than what I needed to eat this week. There was such an abundance. But then the thought goes beyond that to the idea that I have, at any given time, if the earth were to open up and swallow up my home, which does happen sometimes, by the way, doesn't it? And all of the place that we live was just buried in the earth. I believe that there are 50 places that I could spend the night tonight with my family and not have to leave our hometown. What do you think? You think that's right? There's more than 50, because almost every one of you would be willing to do that. What blessings we have. It is a deep, deep network of things that God has provided for us in many ways, in creation, in families, and in the body of Christ. And that stops short of just recognizing that every day, every morning, I get up abiding in the steadfast love of the Lord. It never ceases. It doesn't run out. He doesn't get tired of loving. He doesn't get tired of me. It doesn't use up the limited quantity of grace that He has, but it's like it's new every morning. And I abide in that. And the result of that is not only forgiveness, which is just astonishing, but the continued living out life in the presence of God. What great blessings. Sometimes we don't stop and see it, and therefore we'll never say it. Some of you may have read or heard of the author Brené Brown. She is a sociologist and a researcher, and she has spent a significant part of her life investigating the difference between people who are enjoying life and those who are not. It's a fascinating study. She thought, by her own admission, that she'd study that for a year or two, get to the bottom of it, and move on. But it was a much deeper study than she thought that it was going to be. And she identifies a couple of things that she said are just really big takeaways for her from her research. And I want to mention just one of those this morning. She says that she studied people that she regarded as living a wholehearted life. They engaged life. They were not fearful. They were not always happy about everything that happened, but they engaged life in a robust way and found life meaningful and fulfilling. And she studied those folks as opposed to an equal number of folks who were not seeing life that way, for whom life was a burden. There wasn't much to look forward to, and things were difficult to find to rejoice about. She compares these two groups of people. And one of the consistent factors for this group of people who lived a wholehearted life was that they made a practice of gratitude. A practice of gratitude. One short quote from one of her books, The Gifts of Imperfection. She says, "Without exception, every person I interviewed who described living a joyful life or who described themselves as joyful actively practiced gratitude and attributed their joyfulness to their gratitude practice." Now, a couple of things I want you to notice about that is the difference between joy and some of her research will refer to as happiness. She said, well, happiness she sort of defines as, well, circumstances are nice and there's nothing really bad going on, and so I feel happy. And so there's sort of a sense of happiness that we experience when life is on an even keel. But she differentiates that from joy in this way, that joy does not depend on circumstances. It goes deeper. But you think about the illustration a minute ago about, you know, if the house was swallowed up and all your possessions were gone, well, that'd make me unhappy. But there is something deeper going on where I say, but I don't have to fear if I'm going to have to sleep out in the cold rain tonight, because I know that there are vast resources that God has provided to take care of us even during those times. And so she makes a distinction between circumstantial happiness and deeper joy. But she also emphasizes, don't miss this business about active practice. Gratitude, we talk about having the attitude of gratitude, but we need more than just the attitude. We need the action. And that comes most simply in saying thank you. But when do we say thank you? Well, let's say it to our family members. Let's say it to strangers who have somehow participated in doing something kind to us. And above all, let's say it to God. Saying it, praying it, writing it. Some of you are diary keepers and journalers. Write there about the things that you're thankful for. Sometimes we need to just stop and challenge ourselves to write a thank you note, or even to write a thank you list, and to actively practice gratitude. The gratitude two-step. You got to see it, and you got to say it. If you don't see it, you'll never say it. You might see it and not say it, and then the process will be incomplete. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus tells us, well, the Bible tells us about a story that involves 10 lepers, and Jesus encountered those 10 men, and they were without hope of medical cure. Jesus came to them and performed a miracle. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Well, that was the person who would diagnose whether or not they were cleansed of leprosy or not. That was what the law of Moses called for. And so Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, while they were on the way, they noticed that their leprosy was gone. They were cured. 10 went, 10 were cured. 1 turned around and came back to Jesus to say thank you. And Jesus said, where are the 9? I don't think that story is intended to give us a statistic, but it is interesting to think about whether 1 time in 10 we are thankful for good things that come our way. In the gratitude two-step, first you got to see it, recognize there's something to be thankful for, and second, you got to say it. You got to take action that expresses gratitude. All 10 did step 1. They saw it, right? How could they miss it? Only 1 did step 2 and expressed it. Now, the Bible gives us a lot of advice about thankfulness, but I want to point out one warning here that's consistent with Dr. Brown's research. Romans chapter 1 is a warning chapter. It talks a lot about sinfulness and its consequences. And speaking of rebellious people, idolatrous and sinful people, Romans 1:21 says, although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, and they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. I had to think about this verse in a different way this week. And thinking about this lesson, I always thought about the idolatry. You know, they knew God, but they did not honor Him as God, so they turned away from God. You think about how many people have served, and even today continue to serve, false gods. And looking backward all the way back into the Old Testament, we can see that all of us in our origins had ancestors who knew the one true God, but not honoring Him or respecting Him as God, they became futile in their thinking. And then he talks about all these awful things that that kind of paganism led to in the Old Testament, led to in the time of Christ, and continues to lead to. But I had not paid as much attention to that little phrase in the middle. They did not honor Him as God or what? Give thanks to Him. Well, if you don't honor Him as God, you're never going to give thanks to Him, right? If you don't see it, if you don't recognize it, if you don't acknowledge this is God's blessing, this is God's goodness, this is God's will for us, we won't thank Him. It might be the case that we acknowledge there is a God, but we fail to thank Him. There's a warning in this verse about what happens if we go down that path. We have so much to be thankful for. The Scripture reminds us, here's our title text for today from Psalm 35 and verse 18. I will thank you in the great congregation, and in the mighty throng I will praise you. We've done that this morning, haven't we? The words of our songs have been words of thanks, and together in the congregation we have together declared thankfulness to God. Psalm 35 in particular has in view God delivering us from enemies. Or maybe in particular, God delivering David from a particular enemy. And his prayer is that God will help him and rescue him. And he says, when you do, I will thank you in the great congregation and I will praise you in the mighty throng. The idea is, God, I need your help. And I'm looking for it. I'm asking for it. I'm expecting it. And when I see it, I'm going to express my gratitude. I'm going to complete the faithful person's process here. I have a need. I ask God for help. I wait and watch. And then when he helps, I see it and recognize it, and I give thanks. It'd be all right sometimes for us to sit around and just talk to each other about what good things God has done for us, wouldn't it? I will give thanks to you in the middle of your people. I will thank you for the abundant physical blessings that I have. More than that, I will thank you for the good things in my family. I will thank you for sustaining us when things are difficult. I will thank you for forgiving us when we've gone wrong. I will thank you, Father, for giving us hope and for making a way for us. We could say 1,000 things. Sometimes we go 1,000 days without thanking him for one. It's all right for us to say to each other how grateful we are for what God has done. You know, our conversations, I'm fascinated. Recently was at a meeting where a lot of teachers were there from different schools, and we were sitting around talking around a meal, and it inevitably happens. As we begin to talk about our work as teachers, what do you think happens? You think that we get together and we start talking about our superstar students who do great? Is that who we talk about? Teachers? Or do we start telling the horror stories and try to out-top each other with which student has done the craziest thing you've ever heard of? You know, the students, one who cheats off the other and one says, I don't know, and the other one writes, me neither. Those kind of stories. All right? We gravitate toward that. Or we play another game called Ain't It Awful. It has nothing to do with being a teacher. It's just we sit around, our conversation drifts. Any of you over Thanksgiving, your conversation drift around to politics or the economy or what's going on in the world, and you sat around talking about how awful things were. What a revolution it would be if we led the conversation into Thanksgiving. If we allowed it to be not just when we sing words that someone else wrote in a songbook and we're led formally in worship, then we say in the congregation, thank you, Lord. But if we, when we sat down to lunch with our friends this week, when we gathered with our family, said, I want to tell you, I am so thankful. And I can't wait to get out in front of you and say, I'm thankful for how God has taken care of us, how he has answered our prayers, how he has helped me to understand, how he has developed my sense of peace and grace. Let me tell you about what happened when someone at church came to me and said, let's do this together, and we got together and did something good. I'm so thankful that that person came. Or let me tell you about what our leaders at church are doing, our elders, our Bible teachers. Let me tell you what's going on there. I'm so thankful for them. That conversation seems strange, but it will be less strange the more often that we do it. In John chapter 6, we have the account in John of Jesus feeding the 5,000. This is a really simple thing there. And Jesus, who has all power, who is about to do a great miracle, who has come from God and is going back to the right hand of the Father and knows it, took those few loaves, and then when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, and the fish also, as much as they wanted. He gave thanks. Jesus took a handful of bread and gave thanks. You see why that's so significant? in the big picture of things, what's a handful of bread? To the Son of God, what's a handful of bread? And who are you thanking? The Son of God is thanking the Father for His blessings. Jesus is in the flesh. He gets hungry. Bread is pretty basic food. And He and those with Him have been provided with a blessing. And Jesus gave thanks. One of the places that many of you have in your schedule where you stop to give thanks is before a meal. Isn't that right? It's a habit. Good. It's a good habit. Don't stop. Maybe sometimes it becomes sort of commonplace, but remember that Jesus gave thanks for the little bit of bread that probably some little boy's mother had wrapped up in a cloth and sent with him for his day's lunch, and is now being shared with Jesus and his disciples and with 5,000. And Jesus gave thanks. Why? Because He saw it as a blessing. He saw it as something good. And He saw it as ultimately derived from God the Father, from whom every good and perfect gift comes down. Jesus Himself gave thanks, even for simple things. Some things, though, a little more complicated, take a little more thought. But in Philippians, one of Paul's most joyful letters, he expresses abundant gratitude repeatedly. I think he figured this out before Brené Brown figured it out, right? That thankfulness and joy go together. If you're not thankful, you won't be joyful. You want to be more joyful, be more thankful. It will require you to stop and think about how many good things come your way, and that's going to make you more joyful. But in Philippians chapter 1, of the many things that you could express thanks for, Paul says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." There are people in other parts of the world, whether that's other parts of the United States or outside the United States, that there are people worshiping today who will give thanks for you. Have you thought about that? I mean, there is always something to be said for trying to appreciate those who bless you, but there's also something to be said for recognizing that you can be a blessing. I fail to communicate to you all of the things that are said and communicated to one or the other of us who are communicating with folks in Haiti, for example. But right now they are saying, "Thank you so much for not just being done with us, for not walking away. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the planning, for the contributing, for the coming, for the prayers, for the encouragement." They're saying thank you. Paul here, writing to a church hundreds of miles from where he is in prison, says, "I remember you and I thank God for you." Because we're partners in this business of the gospel, and you haven't forgotten me. One of the areas in which I would encourage all of us to explore thankfulness is in our Christian family. Now, I know that families are the most challenging group of people that you're associated with, right? Right. You've heard me say before, you know why your brothers and sisters are so good at pushing your buttons. They installed your buttons, right? They were there. They were the first to ridicule you, first to notice the things that you were sensitive about. And so those are some of the greatest challenges, but boy, what great blessings. And in the family of God, as we work alongside each other and rub elbows and sometimes even clash? What great blessings are there for us in the love that we experience, in the opportunities to forgive and be forgiven, in the opportunities to see faith in its more full, orbed fashion, because you think about things I don't think about. It would not take most of us long to list a dozen names of our brothers and sisters that we are so thankful for. But first, you have to see it. You have to stop and think about it. And then, do we ever need to say it? If you would like to receive less encouragement, if you have so much encouragement you can't stand it, and you would like to receive less encouragement, please raise your hand. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this one, but let's just stop and think about it for just a minute. If you were, over the next few weeks, to stop and take inventory of people that you are thankful for, and I'm not talking about people who are necessarily up here in front, but especially those people who in their quiet way are doing so many good things and bringing blessings to others. What would it mean to you if someone had noticed your service, your faith, your Christian disposition, and sent you a note, or posted a comment for you, or sent you an email, or pulled you aside, or took you to lunch, or took you to Red Lobster, and said, I appreciate you. We have so many quiet workers. What a great opportunity to be a blessing, to practice the gratitude two-step, to take notice and then to give notice, to see it and to say it. Paul wrote to the Philippians and said, I am thankful for you. And he overflowed with joy because of what he thought about in that process. To the church in Thessalonica, Paul would write a series of admonitions in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Notice those three admonitions. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. This is not new. Latest research says the Bible is right. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. It's all part of recognizing who we are in relation to God and His blessings for us. Now that last line, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's the will of God that we would always have joy, but God has not chosen to protect us from every unhappy set of circumstances. But it's still His will that we would rejoice always. It is God's will that we would pray without ceasing, that we would never give up on prayer, that our lives would be infused with prayer, that we would never come to a season where we gave in to the temptation to say, I just don't feel like praying, I don't think it'll do any good. It is going to be the case that difficult circumstances will come, and there will be times when we are tempted to withdraw from God, but His will is that we would pray and then that we would give thanks in all circumstances. There are some circumstances for which I can't imagine being thankful, but that's not what it said. It didn't say give thanks for all circumstances, because there are some people who are lost and I'm not thankful for that. There are some people today who are really hurting physically and I'm not thankful that they're hurting physically. But there are some people who are dealing with some really difficult circumstances. They're in those circumstances and they're still giving thanks because they are seeing there are so many blessings even in those difficult circumstances. We often talk about our desire to do the will of God, and we often pray, even in our worship assemblies, we pray, Father, that everything done here today will be done according to your what? According to your will. here is something according to God's will, that we would find joy, we would pray, and that we would give thanks in all circumstances. The Psalms are full to overflowing of things to be thankful for. This one sums it up in this last line here, Psalm 9, verse 1. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. Recount all of his wonderful deeds. You ready? Let's go. How long will this take? But I will point out that if you go through and read Psalms like Psalm 9, 1, they're very specific. Sometimes it's something recent that has happened. I was sick and now I'm well. Thank you, God. Or the enemy who has surrounded us and you drove them away. Thank you, God. Or I was so swamped with my own foolish guilt and you have made me clean. Thank you, God. I was alone and you sent a friend. Thank you, Lord. Or sometimes they reach back historically. We remember, God, how you created the world and we're so thankful that you made it so good for us. We remember that you rescued us when we were slaves in Egypt. We remember that you fed us in the wilderness. We remember your power displayed on Mount Sinai. We remember how you cared for us for 40 years. We remember how you gave us the land and defeated our enemies. We remember. And we recount his wonderful deeds. As you are exercising your gratitude muscles, and you think about your family, and you think about your material blessings, and you think about your spiritual blessings, don't forget a great resource that you have. Don't forget your Bible stories. Israel didn't. They recount them. In particular, Psalm 136 is a long psalm that just sort of tells their story over again, and at every verse declares thanks to God for his steadfast love. Don't forget to be thankful that Jesus was born, that he was about his Father's business, that he willingly entered into the ministry that led to persecution for him, that he healed the sick and showed compassion, and in his compassion for them, we see his compassion for us, and that he taught so freely and abundantly in things that are simple for us to understand and yet profound for us to get to the bottom of, and that he was crucified and stayed on the cross, even when he was tempted by ridicule, and that God raised him from the dead, and that he sent forth teachers to tell the story, and that he preserved that story down through the ages, and that it came to my ears, and that I have had the chance to hear it and believe it and respond to it. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount his wonderful deeds. You have to see it, and you have to say it. Faith and obedience. This morning, the greatest blessings that God has for us, the greatest blessings, are in Christ. God loves the whole world. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust, but the rain won't wash away your sins. But the blood of Christ will. In order to express that gratitude, you have to see it. And you have to say it. In other words, you have to see what God has done for us, and then you have to confess that you believe that, that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you have to take that action of faith, being baptized into Christ. One of the things that may hinder us from proper gratitude is when we, for whatever worldly and selfish reasons, hold ourselves back from fully giving ourselves into the blessings that are ours in Christ. And this morning, we would like to say, thank you, Lord, for just one more person being right with God because of what God has done for us in Christ. It could be you this morning that needs to come. We invite you while we stand and sing this song.